Welcome everyone, Dylan Jamelli here today with a brand new video for you, and today I want to talk to you about how to properly use aromasin or eczema stain. But before we get into that, just a big shout out and thank you to everybody out there supporting the channel. I cannot thank you enough. If you haven't yet, please like, share, subscribe, comment, whatever you can do to interact with the channel. It helps the channel to grow, and we are trying to build this thing up as high as we possibly can. Also, today's video is sponsored by letsgetchecked.com. Now, letsgetchecked.com specializes in at-home blood testing. It's very simple. Go to their website, pick out whatever test you want. They have everything for men and women, full hormonal panels, wellness panels. You want it, chances are they've got it. Put your order in. They're going to ship you your kits very, very quickly. All you have to do is go register the kits online. Then you have to provide the sample, ship it back. You're going to get your results by email. They're going to notify you very, very quickly upon receiving your sample back. They have doctors and nurses there to take all of your questions and concerns, whatever you have. They're there to help. It's fast, easy, reliable, efficient, and it's discreet. Use coupon code Jamelli30 to save yourself 30% off. Letsgetchecked.com. All right, so I want to talk to you about how to use aromasin. This is going to be, unfortunately, probably one of those videos that gets a lot of controversy or disagreements or arguments. This aromatase inhibitors are like the most polarizing compounds in the steroid world or PED world, like in terms of supports especially. I mean, these are just, man, what comes along with these. I've done plenty of videos on misusing aromatase inhibitors, myths around them. So check those out so you can kind of see my stance on them. They certainly have a place. They're just so often misused. They're either underused or abused. And you know what that really comes down to? What that normally comes down to is the lack of blood work done to really make sure, you know, how you're responding to things and whatnot. Too many people either are careless and just don't care, or they go on how they feel. And sometimes the symptoms of high or low estrogen, you can't tell. And you can't, especially right away. And then when it hits you like a ton of bricks. Some people that are more estrogen prone like me, I know right away when things are coming on because I've been through it so many times, but a lot of people don't. And if you don't do the blood work, generally what happens is people overuse or underuse, and then they bring on added problems they could have easily avoided. So that I find is a big problem. Not having authentic products or bunk products is another major problem. This happens a lot, especially, and I hate to say this because there are some great research sites that do put these out there, but a lot don't know what they're doing. They make them wrong. And, you know, anymore, it's very dangerous for the research sites because that's very, very illegal now. And they crack down on that. So if you are a research site doing that, I'd think twice about it. I really would. Probably don't care. You probably know that and you're selling them anyway. But man, I just try to look out for the community. And so I would say, you know, be careful with that. But a lot of times, unfortunately, those can be problematic when they're being made. I think there is a lack of... So I hate to say that because I don't know that for all the places, and some places do it right, but I think some places just kind of don't have a great setup when they're making these things. But, you know, you never know. UGL, same way. So you just have to be careful in general because there's a lot of bad, source sites out there too that provide some kind of dog crap products, especially resellers. So be careful. There's several issues people run into. Some people don't understand if they're estrogen prone or not, don't understand the compounds they're running, and they just misuse things. I'm going to give you, well, first of all, with women, I don't recommend estrogen blockers or aromatase inhibitors unless your doctor's putting you on them for some sort of reason. So just to knock that one out of the way. So this is, I don't claim to know, you know, certain aspects of females that need aromatase inhibitors and that. So just understand this is kind of not, this is kind of geared more towards men because I don't have the proper, you know, well, comfort, first of all, discussing anything to do with like that type of estrogen deal with a woman. It's, you know, so anyway, with men, it's different for everybody. So this is very, very, very subjective. I have to say that at the start. Generally speaking, you know, you get onto a cycle. A lot of people are running testosterone on most of their cycles. Not everybody, but most. I think you'll find far, 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 far more do than don't. But there are people that'll do an oral-only cycle, a deca-only cycle, shit, equipoise-only cycle, Meant Trust Alone, that's a popular one to do on their own. So, but, you know, let's just use Test for an example, since most people are doing it. If you start getting over, and I hate to say this either, because for me, for example, I dose Test at 250 milligrams a week. I need 25 milligrams per day of Aromacin. That's ridiculous. That's very estrogen prone. Most people, you start with 12.5 milligrams every other day. Most people. Some people do understand right away that they're not estrogen prone, and they've ran multiple cycles, and that could drain their estrogen. So some people, you know, you may start your cycle and check your blood work like, I don't know, 5-6 weeks in, which you should be doing anyway, you know, pre, mid, and post, and seeing where you're at and like, okay, I'm elevated, I should start dosing an aromatase inhibitor. Oh, I'm not elevated at all. Maybe I don't need one, or I could run a lower dose of one. So that 12.5 milligrams every other day, understand that's a very, very, very subjective. And when I'm looking at majorities on that, I mean, when you think of a majority, you're thinking, I don't know, in terms of something like this with the comfort level to say this is consistently what people use, I'd say at least 70 to 75%. You know, of the people are responding or reacting this way. But there's always going to be those outliers and a lot more than you would expect. But with aromatase inhibitors, it's a crapshoot, man. I barely put that 12.5 every other day, maybe in the 50% range or something. That's why what I'm telling you is super, super subjective. And I'm trying to explain to you why and cover all the bases as to how you should really go about this. You know, and I could tell you, oh, with 500 milligrams, you absolutely need this of Test, for example. Just understand, you start running something like D-ball, Trestolone, things that convert at a really high rate. Testosterone converts at a pretty good clip to estrogen, but not like D-ball or Trestolone. So you're going to want to accommodate what you're using too. Now, on the flip side, if you're using something like Masteron, you know, Primobolan, Proviron, even Anavar, the DHT compounds, aside from Anadrol, have anti-estrogenic properties. Anadrol is totally different. It has estrogenic properties, but an aromatase inhibitor won't be effective because it's not actually converting to estrogen. We just talked about this in several videos, so I'm not going to get into all of that explanation on Anadrol, and it's not really totally known and proven why, but that requires an estrogen blocker instead because it's not actually converting to estrogen. But aside from that, your other DHT compounds, like I just, you know, read off to you, they can have a mitigating effect on estrogen, so they can potentially lower it. Just understand, it's not a substitute for an aromatase inhibitor unless you're one of those huge, rare outliers that could actually be enough. But it will probably allow you to dose less of one. So you have to keep in mind and factor in the compounds that you're running as well. Now, I like Aromacin, especially in post-psychotherapy, for two reasons. One is because of the really large effect and increase it can have on IGF-1 levels, which is key to recovery. And two, because as opposed to Arimidex, gynecomastia rebound, some people will tell you that's bullshit. I know it's not because I've seen it happen to so many people. And when you run Aromacin in your PCT, that's going to prevent that, more than likely. I've seen people have it with Bistral, like Superdrol. I've seen plenty of people have it after D-ball cycles. I mean, it's something that you have to be aware of. And Aromacin will prevent that, where Arimidex will not. So those are two reasons why I like it in PCT. But I don't like it misused either. I don't like people overusing it, running too much, panicking on something, you know, without, and then completely going from, you know, one extreme to the other. And also keep in mind, trend, when you're on trend, it can cause a false reading on your estrogen levels. It can make them look like the scary high, 200 and 300 ranges. So you have to understand every little aspect of your cycle. And that's why I stress to people so often, and it happens more, I think, with SARMs and peptides, where I'll get questions like, I've got all this coming, or I just got all this stuff, how do I use it? And I'm sitting here going, like, this, trying not to get frustrated, because I don't, for the life of me, there's a lot of mistakes and questions that I totally understand. We've all been there. But what I cannot relate with somebody on this is going and buying a bunch of shit and not knowing how to use it or what they do. I cannot relate with you on that. I just don't. That one, I don't get it. I really don't. How can you just go buy a bunch of these and not know how to use them, and what you're putting in your body, not knowing what they do. Watch my first cycle video, please, if you're new to this, because it explains you every single thing to do to prepare for a first cycle. And education is at the very top of the list. So please watch that. But back to the aromasense. So you can see it's tricky. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of you. It's kind of like with a diet, except it's trickier. With a diet, you have to test, you have to change, you have to do this, you have to do that. But it can be very difficult to really dial your estrogen in, especially with all the different compounds, combinations, and positive and negative effects that each one can have. So it's not, if somebody just tells you it's this cut, dry answer, boom, 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 they are lazy because they don't want to really cover the bases, or they just don't know what they're talking about, or they just don't give a shit. It's one of the three. And more than likely, it's their lazy and don't want to cover the bases, or just don't know. But anyway, understand, super subjective. I'm trying to give you, some people go, well, you just won't answer, because there's not a straight answer, because it's so different for everybody. I gave you dose ranges, I gave you ideas, I gave you scenarios, but there's so many different scenarios, and I would rather give you the honest breakdown and be unlazy and go the extra mile and give you all the information. Even if it does make some people go, well, shit, what is it? It's the actual factual answer. So that being said, stay tuned for plenty more to come. Dylan Jamelli signing off.